Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time, that's 12 to 3 Pacific, on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, a battle may have been won, but the war is not over when it comes to a head coach and quarterback in the National Football League. It's where we start today. Welcome aboard. Plus, in 20 minutes, we get confessions of an NFL player. Tweet me, at Dan Beyer on Fox. Any questions that you may have for TJ Houshmandzadeh, they will be vetted. Don't worry, TJ. We're not going to ask you anything outrageous. But even as something that you may think is simple, just pass it along at Dan Beyer on Fox, and we will have TJ Houshmandzadeh give us the answer. If you always wanted to ask an NFL player a certain question, now is your chance to do so. Plus, coming up at the bottom of the hour in about 30 minutes, TJ and John Ramos go head-to-head in our latest game. But we talk about a head-to-head competition, TJ, and I'm bringing up Brady and Belichick again because I think that Tom Brady won the battle of 2020. But I don't think that the war is necessarily over when considering maybe who needed who the most during their successful time in New England. I know Tom Brady went to Tampa and got a Super Bowl for the Buccaneers, giving him number 7th, while Bill Belichick of the Patriots did not make the playoffs. But I just never felt that the move was a short-term only sort of move. I think for the Patriots, it's more of the long game. I think Belichick and Brady are still on, and we still need to analyze the longer body of work after Tom Brady left New England.
Man, you all right over there?
I know. Listen, you knew that if Tom Brady could pick where he wanted to go, and there were a bunch of options, he just was fortunate enough that there was a ready-made team in Tampa that all they needed was a quarterback. All they needed was a quarterback, and so Tom Brady goes to Tampa, has it set up perfectly with weapons. They bring in a couple of guys that he wants, and then they go off to the Super Bowl. But I don't think it's over for Bill Belichick and the Patriots, especially considering now where the Patriots are. And if you look at where New England is, they had COVID dropouts in 2020. We feel that they're going to be better in 2021. Mac Jones is now the quarterback. And if Mac Jones has success at quarterback and leads New England to the playoffs, if New England goes to the Super Bowl this year, I think that's an even bigger feather in the cap of Bill Belichick in New England than Brady winning the Super Bowl last year with the Buccaneers.
New England has no chance of going to the Super Bowl. I'll say that.
No chance?
No chance. Unless Mac Jones is the greatest rookie we've ever seen, no chance. Now, this is what I will say. People were quick to point out, oh, man, the Bucs were a ready-made team. Before Tom Brady got there, when was their last playoff appearance? When was the last time they won? When was the last time they've been relevant? Tom Brady goes there and it's like, oh, he had a ready-made team. Nobody was saying it was a ready-made team before he got there. But they were a ready-made team once he takes them to a Super Bowl, and you look at this and you look at that. He brought a winning mentality. He showed them guys, everybody works hard. He showed them, though, how to prepare, how to win. Bruce, everybody was there before Brady got there, for the most part, minus A.B., Gronk, and whomever else that they brought in that played a factor, that played a role in their success.
Leonard Fournette, yeah.
But that's all the coaches and those players, they were there prior to Brady getting there. Nobody was saying, oh, they got all the pieces. They're a quarterback away. Nobody said that. But when Brady goes there and he wins a Super Bowl, it's, oh, they were just a quarterback away. They were a great team. They just needed a quarterback to lead them.
But there aren't a lot of teams that have, you know, Mike Evans and Chris Godwin sitting there as wide receivers. Just, I mean, Jameis Winston threw for 5,000 yards, you know, with Tampa. Just the 30 interceptions were the biggest problem. So, like, their offense was there. They just needed a guy that didn't turn it over all the time.
but you also need a guy that can make plays. You also need a guy that just brings a different mentality, and that's what he brought. And Bill Belichick, they didn't win in New England last year. They were awful. Brady and Belichick, they've been together for years. You look at his record with Brady. You look at his record without Brady. And I think Bill's a fantastic coach. But you give me the best game plan in the world. If I can't execute it, are you really that great of a coach? So the players have to execute. And that's what Brady did when he was with New England. He executed. Coaches can only do so much. The players have to play. And so there's no chance, zero, I mean Z-E-R-O, of New England winning a Super Bowl, even getting to a Super Bowl. Mac Jones is a rookie. He's no different than any other quarterback that has come to the league and started as a rookie. You're going to struggle. And they believe because New England, they have this great offensive line, they're going to be able to run the ball and control the game via short passes. That defense is going to be good. But you got to play the Buffalo Bills twice. You got to play the Miami Dolphins twice, who should be improved. And so it's not going to be a walk in the park, especially with a rookie quarterback.
I just get the sense that for Brady's last season, that some people felt that the argument, and this is something more of what we do in the media, that the argument was over. Period. End of sentence. Tom Brady was the reason for New England's success. And not to rehash old Super Bowls, but we know that Tom Brady had a great coming out party for New England, but that defense was able to slow down the Rams in Super Bowl 36 and was the real reason why
Brady's
New England...
first two Super Bowls was because of the defense. There's sure. I'm not gonna debate that. That was all defense.
And then in the Super Bowl against the Rams in Super Bowl 53, they put up what, 13 points in that game?
Yes.
They held the Rams to 3. Like there's that aspect of it. And it's not meant to take away anything from Tom Brady, as I'm taking stuff away from Tom Brady and saying that. It's just the point of Brady does one thing and we're saying, all right, look what Brady's done. But if the defense or something happens in New England, or if this year if they have success, we tend to not give Bill Belichick as much credit for it. And even TJ, I would even say the next 3 years, because that's kind of my point of this. It's not the end of the sentence because it is a bigger picture. I think New England as well wanted to move on. We know what Belichick had wanted to move on with Jimmy Garoppolo years back and not have Tom Brady along. I think
How that would have turned out.
Yeah, sometimes it's the moves that you don't make. Maybe Robert Kraft and Tom Brady saved Bill Belichick from himself in that situation. But if Mac Jones and the Patriots go to a Super Bowl within the next 3 years – I think that says a lot about Bill Belichick. And if the Buccaneers...
That's not going to happen.
We don't know that. Things can change. It may not happen this year, TJ, but I just don't think that I don't think that the conversation is
over. Dan, I just look at the quarterbacks in the AFC. You tell me in 3 years, he going to be better than Mahomes? Nah.
No.
He going to be better than Josh Allen?
No.
Nah. He going to be better than Deshaun Watson if he can get on the field and play? Nah. He not going to be better than Baker Mayfield. Nah. He not going to be better than Joe Burrow. Nah. He not going to be better than Justin Herbert. So when they plan on getting to the Super Bowl?
Well,
and then
hey,
let's go back to something else you just said. People want to talk about the 13 points against the Rams, his first two Super Bowls. But we always leave out the Falcons Super Bowl. That wasn't deep. I don't recall that being defense. I recall Brady just going to work, but we leave that one out. You see how that works?
Right?
I
mean, and I don't think they punted in the loss to the Eagles. You know, so I understand. My point is, though, is Brady gets credit for all of the Super Bowls. He gets credit for all 7. And the 6 in New England and the 1 in Tampa, he gets credit for all of them. And we don't necessarily give credit to Bill Belichick on some of them. We say Tom Brady won 7 Super Bowls. True. He has 7 Super Bowl rings, but some of those were thanks to the defense. And we don't talk about that with Bill Belichick and the Patriots. So if the Patriots actually do go, and if Mac Jones, listen, The Patriots had to navigate Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger and Phillip Rivers for years. So them going up against top quarterbacks in the AFC is nothing new. But if they do have success and they make a run in one of the next 3 years, if they go to the Super Bowl in the next 3 years, I actually think it's a bigger accomplishment than Tom Brady winning what he did in Tampa and just getting to a Super Bowl. And I know it seems far-fetched with Kansas City and with Buffalo and with Cleveland there, but I don't think that this battle and this argument is just, you know, set.
I should slap myself. I didn't even say Lamar Jackson. I should slap myself. Lamar Jackson.
You said Joe Burrow fourth.
I was just going off my top of my head of just the quarterbacks in the AFC, yeah. And I didn't say Lamar Jackson. Man, Bill Belichick is not seeing a Super Bowl for a while. unless them quarterbacks leave the AFC, that's just what it is.
They've navigated good quarterbacks before through the AFC. I just the jury is still out, TJ. It's not an open and shut case. They're going to play in week four. And if Tampa gets the win, it's going to be Brady. You know, Brady got the best of Belichick, but I still think that the jury is out, and we have to see what this New England team can do. And I would even say that the jury is still out after 2021. I think that there's still stuff that we need to determine when it comes to the Brady-Belichick debate. He's TJ Houshmandzadeh. I'm Dan Beyer. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. We are sitting in for Doug today. Want to look like $1 million but only spend a handful of bucks? Upgrade to a Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor for a noticeably smooth shave thanks to their 6 precision-cut stainless steel blades. Find your perfect shave wherever you shop, in-store and online at dollarshaveclub.com. That's dollarshaveclub.com. Again, it's your last chance. If you have any questions for an NFL star, now's the time to get him in. Hit me up on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox. Confessions of an NFL player next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. He's the NFL vet, NFL star, TJ Houshmandzadeh. I'm Dan Beyer sitting in for Doug today. On this Tuesday, got to remind myself, TJ, yesterday was Monday, today is Tuesday, because it so feels like a Monday coming off the Labor Day holiday. So does.
Yesterday you almost thought, I did, I was like, oh, it felt like it was a Sunday.
I know, it does.
It's almost, and the fact that it's so hot this time of the year. Normally we're in the 70s, I mean, it's hot every day.
Yeah,
but yeah, it really felt like it was a weekend. It did for me.
Yeah, it is, and it just throws you off. The one good thing about it, though, is we're a day closer to football. So even though it may feel like a Monday, it's actually Tuesday, and we are closer to football. We are closer to a game as well at the bottom of the hour where TJ and John Ramos will go head-to-head. We will give you the contents of that game in 10 minutes. Let's just say that it is a hip hop theme. All right. We don't want any cheating. So we will keep the information as it is. But John Ramos will go up against TJ Houshmandzadeh, man to man, one on one at the bottom of the hour. In the meantime, I do want to tell you this. When a train hits a vehicle at a railway crossing, the results are often deadly. Be cautious at crossings. And if the signals are going, don't be tempted to try and sneak across the tracks, even if you don't see a train. Stop. Trains can't. Paid for by NHTSA. There are a lot of experiences you've had in your life, TJ, that I have never experienced, and a lot of things that I've always wondered about the National Football League and what life is like as a player. And I think a bunch of other people have those same sort of questions. So, TJ, we put you in the spotlight in a segment we like to call Confessions of an NFL Player. All right? We will throw you the questions, and hopefully you can answer some of the questions that we pose to you, because it may be stuff on game day, it may be practice week, it just may be life in general. Are you ready for Confessions of an NFL Player, TJ?
These are my confessions.
All right, I'll go first. I know the guys, John Ramos, Ryan Bershinger, Isaac Lohenkron, have questions as well, and we have received some on Twitter that we'll pass along. I'll get it started. We know that you guys get game checks in the regular season, but how do NFL players get paid in the preseason? How does that work out?
So the preseason, you don't get paid. You get, I mean, well, the preseason, you get a check. Offseason, you don't get paid. It depends on, if I'm not mistaken, I believe in the preseason, each check was about, and you got it every Monday, $800 to $1,100 every Monday.
Oh, interesting. So what would you do? Just throw that savings account, throw it, I mean. Monday checks are a little bigger, right?
Yeah, No. You just direct deposit it. When I first got in the league, the Bengals didn't have direct deposits, so we were getting hard checks.
Really?
Yeah. So I went home. I went home with like 20 checks.
that's amazing. John Ramos, do you have any questions for TJ Hushmanzada?
I do. My question has to do with like superstitions and stuff like that. TJ, do you have guys and you specifically have like some sort of routine that you did before the games or some sort of superstition that you had weekly?
You said you didn't have superstitions, but you realize you did. Like if I had a good game, I'm like, what did I eat last week before the game? All right, I gotta get the same for who, which one was working with us if it was a home game. So I'm like, oh, you gotta come to our table this game. Damn. How did I do my socks? Which glove? Did I give my gloves away at halftime and get a new pair? So you say you don't, but you do.
TJ Burt tweets in saying, TJ was a cheat code on Madden 08. Who's your favorite Madden player of all time?
Wow. I just started playing Madden again during COVID. I had retired. Who's my favorite Madden player of all time? That's a good one. I'm going to go with probably Randy Moss.
Ryan Bershinger, our executive producer, has a question and question or confessions of an NFL player.
Yeah, so take us during a normal week during the NFL season. What is kind of your night during the week where you guys can actually kind of let loose a bit, where you can go out and maybe do something a little fun? Like, what's your Friday night during an NFL season?
So for me, I'm not a drinker. I've never done a drug in my life, never smoked anything a day in my life. And so Friday, I'll be honest with you, if we did go out, we'd go out to a steakhouse and eat, just kind of chill out. Some guys would go out to the club. I did very rarely. But for the most part during the season, man, I was an old man. I just chilled out. I didn't want to be out late. I was ready for practice the next day. But a lot of guys will go out for sure on Friday. But it's Monday. That's the night where you could really go out and have fun because Tuesday is your day off. So it's really that Monday is when guys can go out.
Mad Mac Daddy tweets in. I have to clean this up, by the way, because there's some of the words I can't say.
Come on, Mad Mac Daddy. Come on, PG-13, baby. Come on.
Do y'all talk ish to the quarterback in the huddle if he's playing like trash?
Nah, we don't do that. We don't do that. Never. Not one time have I ever done it. Not one time have I heard a player say it to a QB. Number one, you talk as you would say ish. You ain't going to get ish come your way. So why would you do that? Number one. Number two is we're all going to play bad. And so if you can give it, you damn sure better be able to take it. So, nah, that's not happening at all.
Isaac Lohenkron at the news desk, you need to know something about the NFL?
Well, actually, he just answered my question because Mad Mac Daddy is actually a username on one of my burner accounts. But, all right, feel free to name names here or not name names. It's up to you. Media, which members of the media did you respect? Which members did you not respect, and why? What are some of the things they did that you respected, and what are some of the tactics they used that you had a problem with?
There's nobody that I had a disagreement with. There's one guy, and I'm actually saying his name, too, because he works at Fox. But for the most part, I got along with everybody in the media. I'm a people person, as you can see. I like to talk, so I had no problems getting along. I had one problem with Andy Furman. We had a radio show in Cincinnati. I went home during the bye week, which was in my contract, and I hear he's bashing me on the radio show that we have together. And, like, he went, like, went in. And so I had a disagreement with him for a period of time. And then, you know, all love now.
Oh. John
but
Ramos.
He did piss me off with that, though. If I had seen him, it would have been a problem, but I didn't see him.
Well, I'm glad that it's smoothed over. John Ramos has another question.
I have to do with uniforms. Was there like a favorite uniform or the uniforms you like to wear every week that you're like, man, I wish we could wear that uniform every week? Because I know you have obviously a home and away, maybe some alternate uniforms that you really enjoyed playing in.
You know what I call it, man? We dressing for a funeral, either theirs or ours, all black. We killing them.
I love the Bengals. Black. The new all blacks are going to look so good. Do you hear everything from the stands? I mean, because, you know, guys will yell stuff that's absurd, and I've just always assumed that you guys just kind of block it out and don't hear it. But when you're on the bench and you hear fans yelling, do you hear everything?
Oh, when
you're
on the bench? Yeah. when you're on the field, you hear absolutely nothing. But when you're on the field, of course you hear everything. I would get into it with fans. I remember one time we was playing the Steelers. One fan, we were actually cool. I kept taking him Gatorade, and after a while I was like, if I don't stop taking this dude Gatorade, he throw one of these in my face, it's really my fault. But we were cool. I was giving him Gatorade during the game. But yeah, you hear it.
Do you guys have dental? Like, I mean, like, is it just like all of us, like, dental and vision, like, you know?
We have all of that when you play. Now it's when you're done playing, do you have all of that? That's the problem. Play all them years and don't have any of that.
Oh, man. Confessions of an NFL player. TJ Hushmanzada, thank you for playing along. That was And Mac Daddy, next time, keep it a little clean. You know, I had to.
Yeah, we got to clean up your stuff. You know what's going on. Come on, you don't never hear this on TV, on the radio. Why would you send it in that way, Mac Daddy? Come on, bruh.
What did you know about Cincinnati when you started your career there?
Nothing.
Nothing.
I had never really been to that part of the country. It was different for sure. I love Cincinnati, though, man. It was nothing like it, man. The way they welcomed us and myself, but just being out in the city, I would go anywhere in Cincinnati by myself, and it was always love. It was always fun. That was probably, you know, you say you have no regrets, but I wish I could have stayed there my entire career, but can't go back and change it.
No, I'm just glad that the media member you didn't throw under the bus wasn't Les Nessman. That's thank goodness.
No, I got along with the folks in the media, man. They, you know, good or bad, I'm going to holler at you. If I can enjoy my wins, I got to take the losses. So I was cool with it.
Remember like back in the day when MTV had like hip-hop blocks or R&B blocks? It's kind of – we kind of have a hip-hop R&B block, yeah, here on Fox Sports Radio. He's TJ Hushmanzada. I'm Dan Beyer.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Mike Jones joins us here on Fox Sports Radio. Ooh. Get him on Twitter, @ByMikeJones, covering the National Football League again for USA Today. What's happening, Mike? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
How many times have you gotten that when you say, "I'm Mike Jones"? Do you get that often or no?
A million times. It's just a shame that I don't get any money from it, because I'd be like off on an island somewhere.
Let's dive into this NFL season, and we have to start Thursday night. Tampa Bay Buccaneers, defending Super Bowl champion. Everybody comes back from the starters from a year ago. What is going to be the toughest thing that you think Tampa is going to have to face this season in order to repeat?
You know, I'm really curious to see how they will handle the success and going from being the hunted, you know, from being the hunters to the hunted. Last year, obviously, they had high expectations, but they, you know, I guess you could say exceeded them. Maybe they actually thought they could win a Super Bowl. But the way that their season started out, it definitely didn't look like that. Then they had a strong finish and a great run through the playoffs. Now, how do they do when everybody's looking at them saying, okay, they should repeat or they could repeat? Can they keep it all together? And then you also know that, look, Brady's a year older. Father Time's undefeated. When will he tap on that shoulder? You know, we'll see. So I think just dealing with the expectations, remaining healthy, everybody being a year older, is that motivation the same? That'll be big questions they have to answer.
What team that nobody's talking about that you think can creep up on some people and surprise and battle for a wild card playoff spot?
For a wild card spot, you know, I really think that I know it looked a little dicey for them early this offseason, but I feel like the Seattle Seahawks are going to make some noise this year. They always seem like they're kind of in the thick of things and then just are a little bit short. This year, Russell Wilson, you know, they seem like they smooth things over. He's got a new offensive coordinator. There's supposedly a good working relationship there. I think the things that Shane Waldron are going to bring, it's the same kind of concepts that we've seen that are very quarterback-friendly from Kyle Shanahan's offense, from Sean McVay's offense, from Matt LaFleur's offense up in Green Bay. I think that this will do wonders for Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. Obviously, their skill position players are another year more experienced, guys like DK Metcalf. I think that this is a very competitive their division that they're in, and everybody's talking about the 49ers and the Rams, but I think look out for the Seahawks because they very well could wind up making things interesting there.
Mike Jones, USA Today, NFL reporter and columnist, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. He's TJ Hushmanzada. I'm Dan Beyer, sitting in for Doug Gottlieb today. Just another one on the Seahawks, and specifically Russell Wilson. Seemingly, he got kind of what he wanted from what we heard in February. How much pressure is there now on him to live up to those expectations and maybe exceed those expectations as he got what he wanted?
Well, I feel like because they were so deficient in some of these areas and so much was on him, I feel like for him now, he feels like, oh, good. Now I've got the investment in the offensive line. I've got more help where I wanted. Now it's just a matter of how much input does he have in that offensive game plan like he wanted. But I feel like he's used to being under a lot of pressure. He's used to having to do everything. And now that they've, you know, made those upgrades and they also took care of Dwayne Brown today, I think that he's going to be able to play freely. This offense is very, very friendly for quarterbacks, like I said, and I think that he'll go out there and play well.
So I look across the league and you see all these rookie quarterbacks, and obviously right now Trey Lance, Justin Fields look like they'll be the only rookies that were drafted in the first round, not starting opening day. I believe it's just a matter of time. When you look at Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Mac Jones, who do you foresee having the better season and the better career?
I think as far as the better season, it will be Mac Jones. He's got a very good defensive backing. Now that the Patriots have guys back from the COVID, opt-out, and they've got more additions through free agency, and, you know, then they've also upgraded the offensive weapons there. They are a team that isn't far removed from the playoffs. The Jets have not had success in a long time. The Jacksonville Jaguars have a lot that they have to do. So I think that for this year, Mac Jones will have the most success out of them. Long term, we'll see. We've seen guys that come into the league highly touted, number one overall pick, and it's a bad situation that they come into. You hope that Urban Meyer can actually surround Trevor Lawrence with enough and give him enough support, but I don't know. But I also feel like that Zach Wilson is in a very good situation there with Robert Saleh and Mike LaFleur. Obviously, they've got more work they have to do, but they've been adding young talent there. I think this Jets team was as bad as it was the last couple of years because of the coaching. Now they've had an upgrade in coaching. They've got a talented young quarterback. So this year, Mac Jones might have the better season, but I think that Zach Wilson has a higher ceiling.
Mike Jones joining us here on Fox Sports Radio, USA Today reporter and columnist. Get him on Twitter, @ByMikeJones. This TJ Watt situation in Pittsburgh has not been cleared up. He's doesn't have his long-term deal. He's still under contract with his fifth year, but he hasn't been taking part in team activities. Do you think that this could have an impact if he on the Steelers' season, especially in week one without doing team reps? How will this affect Pittsburgh if he ends up not getting a long-term deal by Sunday?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I really thought that they were going to go ahead and get this thing taken care of, and now that this thing is here, we are in week one, and okay, today's Tuesday, Wednesday, you're out there and you're really laying that game plan down. You really want that guy out there. They need to get something done so it doesn't hang over them. Obviously, yes, he is still in the contract, but you just don't know what kind of, you know, distraction or things just even in the back of your mind unconsciously that this could be. But I think also younger guys are probably watching, you know, they take care of the guy who is the NFL sack leader and, you know, that they have homegrown talent here. Get him taken care of, and then they'll roll on from there. But we're still watching and waiting.
He's Mike Jones, NFL reporter for USA Today. Go ahead, TJ.
I look at it, and season's about to start. Super Bowl participants winner. Who you got?
Oh, my Super Bowl participants. Oh, okay.
And the winner.
I have the Green Bay Packers and the Kansas City Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I have the Chiefs getting the win.
Is it because of the offensive line, the retooling of that? Is it the maybe improved running game because of that offensive line? Why do you like Kansas City?
I feel like, yes. Okay, look, Patrick Mahomes ran for like 500-something yards behind the line of scrimmage in the Super Bowl trying to save himself. Now they went out there. They definitely donated resources to upgrading their offensive line. They've also spent a lot of time on bolstering this run game so they're more well-rounded, more balanced. And so I think that that will make them definitely more dangerous, especially when you get into that cold weather time of year where you need to have that physical smash-mouth football. And so, yes, that's why I think that they were so close last year and their offensive line fell apart on them. Now that they've gotten that taken care of, Patrick Mahomes only gets better as he goes. There's no reason why they can't win the Super Bowl this year.
Andy Reid said yesterday that Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Darrell Williams should be good to go for their week one showdown against Cleveland. Before we let you go, Mike, I know you guys did a piece on up-and-coming players for the 2021 season in the NFL on USA Today. Who's a name that we need to watch as the regular season starts this week that nobody's talking about right now?
You know, it's going to be interesting to see because you see a lot of young guys. One guy that I think he's in a very good situation is Van Jefferson over there with the Rams. They obviously have veteran wide receivers around them. But having a big physical guy to help move the chains, from people I've talked to, they're very high on him. Josh up there in the Patriots, they have a young pass rusher that I think is going to really help them out. And then, you know, up there in Seattle, we're talking about them, Garrett Everett. That offense really needs a talented young tight end to work. And they've got a guy, he's been with the Rams. He knows the offense. He'll be a good help there for Russell Wilson.
Yeah, and they don't have a lot of receivers in Seattle. They didn't keep a lot of guys. So the tight ends are definitely going to play a part. Mike Jones, NFL reporter and columnist for USA Today. Get him on Twitter, @ByMikeJones. Mike, we appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thanks. You guys have a good one.